Hey, well, thank you to everyone for being here today. My understanding is there may be people out there in the Zoom land who are joining us as well. It's great delight that I'm here to tell you about our new strategic EDI plan. But first, I wanted to start with a land acknowledgement. In the spirit of understanding and learning from what has come before, Perimeter respectfully acknowledges that we are located on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, Anishinaabe, and Haudenosaunee peoples. Perimeter is situated on the Haldimand Tract, land promised to the Six Nations, which includes 6 miles on either side of the Grand River. As settlers, we thank all of the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years before us, and we are all connected in our collective commitment to make the promise and challenge of truth and reconciliation real in our community. So, I just don't know who this audience is. This may not be the question to be asking, but what is EDI? Just to set the context. Well, it stands for equity, diversity, and inclusion, and here we have some definitions. You know, ensuring the fair treatment of all members of our community, examining and questioning the makeup of an organization to ensure the full range of lived experiences and perspectives is represented here, and creating and maintaining environments in which any individual or group can feel welcome, respected, represented, supported, valued, and fully participate. So, to the astute members, the experts in the audience, you may have noticed a transition in that not that long ago we talked about IDEA, and our list included accessibility. And it's simply a communication question that we switch back to EDI, which is a more traditional acronym. Rather than using IDEA and having to explain ourselves every time we used IDEA, we are just using the conventional. And I'm sorry that's boring, but...
No, your mic's on. Apparently. Zoom land needs to hear you.
Oh, really?
Apparently.
I thought it was on. It turned off. Okay.
Can you hear me? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I'm looking at Patty. Okay, I was just explaining that we made this transition in acronyms, and it was simply to facilitate communications beyond the building, in particular with our government stakeholders. That is not to say that accessibility is not a priority. It continues to be a priority in the work that we'll be doing here at Perimeter. It's just to simplify life. Then there's the question, why EDI? And I have a nice diagram. We're a very diverse community. And you know, we're all at many different stages. Although my guess is that most of the people in the room are closer to the intersection here, if not wandering off to the right. But our ultimate goal here is to make Perimeter a place where everybody can thrive and find a sense of belonging. And this diagram actually comes from a colloquium that actually Rowan Thompson gave about 2 years ago, I believe. Rowan's a professor of physics. She's also a CRC chair and an assistant dean of EDI at Carleton University. I invited her here because she was also my PhD student. And she experienced Perimeter firsthand and gave us great insights. Unfortunately, her talk isn't recorded or it wasn't posted on Pearsa, but she wrote this very nice article that appeared in Physics Today, which you can find in the library or at that website, which explains her perspective, not just of Perimeter, but given her career the challenges she's faced as a woman in STEM. And at the end of the day, you know, it's a matter of no one large challenge, but a bunch of minor challenges all adding up to make one big mountain. And her perspective at the end of the day, though, was that as she saw it as a woman in STEM, that basically this is a human rights issue, and that she felt that, you know, it's simply providing access and including a diverse community in STEM is just, well, it comes down to a question of human rights. Now, that's one perspective. At a more pragmatic level, you know, this is a quote that a senior faculty who will go unnamed, although he's sitting in the back row, gave me, which he noticed. He was doing his NSERC grant application this fall, a grant application that basically all of the faculty do. And he noticed that there was a tremendous shift towards evaluating EDI efforts compared to the last time he applied. And, you know, that's not just a question for the faculty or the associate faculty who are applying for NSERC grants, but that actually is something that all of the researchers here, I expect, will see that effect or that trend in society, that we're all going to be asked, you know, how are we advancing EDI in our careers? And so this isn't just a question for a senior faculty member or for the Institute when we're applying to the government. It's also a question for the junior researchers here. As you carry on in your career, you may find in scholarship applications or in grant applications when you get to that stage, that you'll also be asked about this as well. On the whole, the global picture, this is a quote that comes from the strategic plan. And I apologize to someone in the audience that she reminded me of this quote. And I was asked, I was asked by another person in the audience, you know, if you don't like it, you can take it out. But instead, I liked it so much that I put it on the second transparency. What you'll find in the strategic plan is a comment that, you know, we're here to make breakthroughs. Breakthroughs in our understanding of the universe. And how do you make breakthroughs? You make breakthroughs by thinking in different and new ways. And so we can't afford to leave anybody behind, any great thinkers, any great ideas. And so that's really the motivation for the Institute writ large. That it's central, it's going to be central to the success of our mission to succeed in EDI as well. So I mentioned then the IDEA strategic plan. That's what you all want to hear about. This is just a reminder of a process which many of you participated in. But you may remember that way back, almost 2 years ago, we engaged with some outside consultants. Well, okay, I should give some context. You know, EDI and concerns about gender balance and diversity are actually something that have played a role and been successfully embedded, I would say, in many programs here at Perimeter. You know, I can speak to the outreach programs where you see gender-balanced cohorts and cohorts drawing from the entire global community. In recent years, we're going to be hearing about the platform, and they've really been driving a lot of innovative work here to advance EDI. But we felt, or I felt, that what we needed was really a comprehensive look, an intentional look to see how we can advance EDI at the Institute. And so back in 2020, we engaged with an outside group, a consulting group called Shift Health, and also with our friends at Laurier, at the Laurier Center for Women in Science, or WINS. And what they started out by doing was surveying and consulting with all of you. And so there were there was a survey that went out. There were also individual interviews that were carried out by a large number of people. You may remember that in the fall of last year, the results of their landscape assessment were presented at the PI community. Shift Health then, well, we held some workshops and they developed a draft plan over the course of the fall, and they presented it to our EDI strategic project team towards the end of 2021. And so one thing to keep in mind is that all of this was carried out in the middle of a pandemic. And so to the largest extent, the building was closed. Nobody on that team actually was able to visit Perimeter and talk to people in this building in person. And so they did the best that they could in preparing this draft plan. But it was really up to our team. There was a huge amount of effort that was carried out over the last winter term in really adapting the plan, refining it, and making it a plan that we thought fit the Perimeter Institute. And so that was a lot of work that was many people. And I'll get to the thanks at the end. It included, we had a faculty and department head retreat in March, and we discussed the plan and some of these issues at that time. The plan was actually finalized, however, last spring. But at that time, I just felt that was the wrong time of year to be presenting it to the community here. I mean, people were thinking about the summer. Some of the students were graduating and leaving. And so I had hoped to do it early in the fall. And well, here we are today in November. That's about, well, a lot of stuff came up. And here we are today. And we're rolling out the plan and sharing it with you. However, I can add that the plan, well, I will make that comment. I'll show you the link. You can find it on the website. And it's available to you and to the general public to read over and to look at in detail. Yeah, here we are today. this is a figure that sort of gives us the EDI plan or the strategy in a glance or in one slide. There's a mission statement here to empower a perimeter community in which everyone can contribute fully to our work and culture, to our scientific advances and to the future of physics by making inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility a shared commitment and responsibility. There are these various focus areas, and I'll comment more on that. And there are also aspirations or intended impacts that we hope to have by following through on that plan. So in a little more detail, there were these five different focus areas, EDI knowledge and competencies, culture and environment, governance and leadership, recruitment and talent development, and of course, research. Under each of those, what you'll find is a set of objectives, a set of activities, but also then a set of measures by which we can gauge our progress towards the plan's goals. There's also an accompanying roadmap, which is a more concrete framework with timelines on these key activities. But I wanted just to walk through an example. I'm not going to read everything on the screen, but this is something that you'll find. I'm just picking on focus area number one. Every section starts with a context. I picked this because if we read that first line, building EDI knowledge and competencies across PI's community will create a foundation for a shared responsibility and action. And I like that because I like the word responsibility. And it expresses the fact that this is going to be a collective effort. It's not the responsibility of me as director or anyone in HR or the platform. It's really something that we hope that everybody in our community engages with and helps us to create that environment here that we aspire to. For each area, you'll find objectives. And so these are the bullets under focus area number one. Then there are these key activities that I talked about, and there's a long list. And in fact, it extends off the bottom of the slide here. But you can read all about it at the link that I give you in a moment. But then again, there's also these measures. So, you know, one of our goals here or measures is to really look, you know, to repeat that survey, to really look at the environment, to look at the community and see where we are as we move along. And so that's going to be an important part of moving the plan forward. You know, I rushed through that. I'm not even going to touch on the other focus areas. As I said, you know, the strategic plan has been available on the website for a few months now. And I encourage you to go take a look at it. It's only 26 pages long, but there's a lot of great stuff in there. And if you had comments, I'd be happy to hear them. I'm sure everybody involved in its creation would be happy to hear about it. I see someone in the front row smiling and nodding. That's her enthusiasm. In any event, I'm going back to the key activities. You know, number one on our list here, was to find the right expertise to help support us in moving this strategy forward. And I'm very happy that, in fact, that we got on the case already this summer. I have to admit that at the beginning, I was somewhat skeptical. However, we got a lot of, a large number of really great applicants, and one of them stood out, though, for us. And she's sitting here. Tina, they didn't give me that applause. They gave that guy applause. They gave you applause. In any event, I just want, you know, Anna Sophia really stood out amongst the applicants. She came to Canada from Mexico, and she actually got her undergraduate degree in medical physics. So she was telling me how eager she is to learn about electrodynamics and conformal field and all those great things that we do here. She also has a professional certification as designated there to allow her to work in EDI or to, she's gained experience or learning in EDI, and she's actually got a lot of experience here in the next bullet. She's worked at a number of places, Toronto Metropolitan University, also the Rotman School of Business and Intact Financial. And in fact, she had her own independent consulting firm that she worked more broadly as well. She was, at the time that we talked to her, also a faculty lecturer. The folks at Rotman liked her so much that they had her come back and speak on EDI topics. And she's been here for almost a week, no, just over a week now. I just wanted to reiterate that her role here is to support us in implementing the EDI strategy and really to be our focal point for EDI related activities, to give advice to me, to give advice to Paul, who's hiding in the back somewhere, and really to monitor Perimeter's progress, or in other words, keep our feet to the fire and make sure that we follow through on all this stuff. But I'm going to invite Anna Sophia to come up and give us a few words. how she's going to do all that.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Can Zoom hear me? Yes? Okay, good. Wonderful. I love this. Very excited to be here with you, with all of you. My name is Anna Sophia, not Anna, not Sophia, Anna Sophia. The only other name I go by is ASB, and I promise I'm not gonna be changing my initials like IDEA versus EDI. I'll keep it at ASB. And as you can see, I think it's because I'm trying to stick and see how much it lands compared to AOC. People tell me that I may have look-alike. I'm like, I'll take it. She's cool. I'll take it. Very excited to be here. As Rob very kindly mentioned, I actually have educational background in physics. Back in my undergrad, I did my research was focused, and surprisingly, I did research in undergrad, which is very unusual. But it was research focused on proton therapy, mostly doing simulations using MCNP6. Not sure if anyone's familiar with that, but Monte Carlo simulations. I'm a really, really significant math and physics enthusiast, also married to a mathematician, so really math runs in the family. And one of the things that made me the most excited to be here was the fact that I actually got into equity, diversity, and inclusion through my physics career and, well, studies. And when I decided to transition to equity, diversity, and inclusion, one of my biggest challenges or concerns was that back in the day, like 10 years ago, I felt that we were just throwing noodles into the wall and hope they stick. Every time I sat at a session on equity, diversity, and inclusion, and at the time it was more focused on gender equity, it felt like I was hearing the same thing over and over and over. And it was demoralizing. It was annoying, I have to be honest. And I felt like it was a waste of my time. For me, it was a few years that I kept feeling that it was the same thing over and over and that we needed to change. I worked at the Toronto Metropolitan University, formerly Ryerson University, at the Faculty of Science. And one of the big things that I wanted to start seeing was what we have done here in Canada when it came to equity, diversity, and inclusion. So I did this study where I assessed, I think it was about 124 Canadian scientific organizations to see how much work they have publicly shown on their websites around equity, diversity, and inclusion. And out of those organizations, 8 had something on equity, diversity, and inclusion. So to me, that was alarming. We have to do more. We have to do better. But we also have to do good. I don't like to just throw noodles into the wall. I really like to ensure that the work that we do towards inclusion is evidence-based, it's managed, and that we actually have metrics to see whether if it's working or not. So my physics background was actually what got me hired into the Rodman School of Management, because one of the biggest challenges that we had with a lot of equity, diversity, and inclusion professionals was the lack of mathematical literacy and the fear of statistics. And for me, that was something that I really enjoyed doing. I was a little bit more inclined towards the computer science aspect of my degree. So for me, it was something that, it was a fun challenge, and it was an ability to merge those two passions, which was mathematics with equity, diversity, and inclusion. I have worked with organizations such as the Canadian Association of Physicists, many, like NSERC, many organizations overall, like scientific organizations. So I understand a little bit as to what are some of the challenges that researchers are currently facing when it comes to inclusion. As previously mentioned, the first one being the fact that NSERC is starting to asking for us to put what we have to do or what we have done as researchers into our applications. And for many of us, that's not something that we have learned before. That's not something we had to care about before. No one, probably none of you, took a course on equity, diversity, and inclusion in university, because the reality is that they don't exist quite yet. I teach at the Rodman School of Management in the only course on equity, diversity, and inclusion at the University of Toronto, the only specific course on equity, diversity, and inclusion. There's social justice, there's gender studies, but equity, diversity, and inclusion from a strategic management, it's still very at a very early stage when it comes to the work we've done. So I'm very excited to be here. I'm very excited that my husband decided to follow me here too. I think it was somewhere in April or May, around 11 p.m. I was in bed already, I remember. And all of a sudden, I'm scrolling through LinkedIn, and I see that the Perimeter Institute is hiring an ADI lead. I remember I just like stood up, and I turned to my husband. And I was like, would you move to Waterloo with me? My husband's like, why? I'm like, well, I think this job was designed for me, because the first line of requirements says at least a bachelor's degree in physics, mathematics, computer science. And I'm like, I think I have one of those. And then on top of that, they wanted a series of experience in equity, diversity, and inclusion. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm the only one in the country that has that. So I'm like, I think that if I don't apply, I'm going to be feeling really, really bad about it. So yeah, I'm very excited to be here. I moved from Toronto, and I still go to Toronto every Friday. So if anyone needs anything from Toronto, feel free to let me know. So yeah, that being said, I'm very excited to come here and get to see all the fantastic work that has been done. I've been here for a week and a day, and I feel happily overwhelmed with the amount of work that has happened. And I have to thank a lot of people who are here who have actually participated and done a lot of this work. So for me, coming to a place where this conversation has already happened, it's super helpful, because I know that I have a community that will help work with me through and do this work on inclusion. In provinces like Ontario, we are very diverse by default. So I personally believe that we should not be taking too much pride just on being diverse unless we are inclusive by design. We need to work towards being inclusive by design. I also teach design thinking for inclusion, so trying to bring those principles here as well. And one of the key things that we want to do here is to start designing that. What does that mean? And how can we ensure that this work is effective, is sustainable, and as I mentioned, is not just throwing noodles into the wall and hope they stick? And the first thing that we're hoping to be doing here as part of that strategic plan is to look into demographic data collection. How many of you have done one of those self-ID surveys before? If you submit awards at this point, even the Institute of Physics for awards is asking for demographic data. So you're going to start seeing that a lot more granting agencies, a lot more institutes are going to start collecting this data. And this is important because it allows us to see who is here. It allows us to see where some of our potential gaps may be. So that's going to be one of the first things that we're going to try to implement. And my ask for you is that when you see that campaign, not quite sure when we're going to be starting, but when you see that, please, 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 with a cherry on top, if you can share that information with us, we'll ensure that it's treated and all the information will be available to you. But having that information really allows us to see the progress and allows us to see and measure the diversity aspect. But that's just one aspect of the work we're going to be doing. Following that, one of the big things that we want to start building and developing a little bit more is training. And for me, I want to ensure that the training is training that is relevant to everyone here. I am not going to come and bring you sensitivity training where we hold hands and life is beautiful. I want things that actually are going to be helpful for you as a researcher, for you as a physicist, for you as a scientist, to implement in your everyday interactions. So please know that I will do all in my power to make sure that it's not boring and that it's actionable. Following that, one of the big areas that we are going to focus on, and this is one of the areas that I actually quite enjoy in terms of changing strategic processes, is looking into our recruitment processes. So for me, it's also looking into what our hiring processes look like, how do our onboarding processes look like, and how can we take away some of the potential ingrained systemic barriers that we may have there by default. Now, assuming that some of you are faculty here, I'll give you an example. Faculty hirings are probably one of the most nerve-wracking things for anyone who's interviewing for a faculty position, right? Yes, no, maybe? And one of the common things that faculty hiring sometimes have is that we invite a person to come here, see the place, enjoy the place, maybe have dinner. And then after that faculty or potential faculty member is gone, we often have conversations as to, how did this person fit in here? Do we like them or not? And it's so easy for us to start embedding part of our biases in those conversations rather than seeing the actual work and work outputs that they have put. So part of the things that I like to bring is bring what are some of the strategies that we can do to make sure that we're hiring the best businesses, the best candidates, the best administration without that bias that we engrave from our perspectives. We are just by default more prone to look for people who are like us, who think like us. So we want to start going a little bit beyond that. Equity, diversity, and inclusion, and excellence go hand in hand. If any of you are interested in this sort of work, I strongly recommend that you read the DORA principles. So it's the Declaration of Research Assessment Principles from the San Francisco Conference. It talks a little bit about how we can start improving the way that we review scientific work outputs to make it more excellent. And I believe that here at the Perimeter Institute, we want excellence. And excellence doesn't have to be without inclusion. Excellence with inclusion just increases our excellence. And then lastly, the last thing that is one of our key priorities right now is working with the inclusion platform. So I have to thank the inclusion platform for all the fantastic work they've done. But the reality is that a lot of this work is done on the side of people's tables, people's desks, and it can be a little bit too much sometimes. So part of my role is going to be here to be a support to all of you who are doing work on equity, diversity, and inclusion, to make it easier for everyone to engage and make it easier to everyone feel that they are participating and not just to be responsible for the work, but for all of us to be held accountable to the culture that we're creating here at the Perimeter Institute. I believe that the behavior we walk past is the culture we enable. So what are we going to enable as part of the culture for Perimeter Institute? That being said, oh, there you go. Look, you can see who. I put this lovely quote. I was like, first presentation, what's a good way to get your boss to like you? Maybe quote your boss. Just kidding. But I have to say that for me, this is the reality. We want the best minds. We want to bring diversity of thought. And we all have different perspectives. But it was Dr. Lisa Coleman, who is the chief inclusion officer at New York University, who's also a computer scientist. She came in to speak at the University of Toronto a few years ago. And she said that thought cognition comes from who we are, the bodies that we're in, and the cultures that we're part of. Who we are, the bodies that we're in, and the cultures that we're part of. For us to bring real diversity of thought, we have to think about it holistically. So for us to really bring diverse perspectives and ensure that the research that we're doing brings diverse perspectives, we have to think behind or beyond just our brains, but the holistic researcher as a whole. And then we also have the tri-agency, who has now been doing a lot of work and emphasis towards embedding equity, diversity, and inclusion in research, research institutes and research organizations and the way that we do research. So if any of you ever has to apply for a Dimensions grant, or if you're applying for, any of your students are applying for any sort of grants, I'm gonna be here to be your support and resource to help you make sure that you have done the work that can help you back up those grants applications that we're putting in there, but also to help you make sure that you are using the right language, you're reusing the right information that is required there. I am not required to be an expert in quantum electrodynamics here. So I'm not expecting that you are an expert on equity, diversity, and inclusion. That's what I'm here for. But I do expect or hope that you get to be as excited about equity, diversity, and inclusion as I am about physics. So that being said, I want to invite you to get involved. Some of the ways that you can start getting involved, and I keep saying grants because that's the way that we can start thinking about how this work can be seen and can play an effect on the way the work we do in our research is getting money for this work. So one of the key things that I encourage you to do or consider is joining the PI platform. There's a lot of different working groups right now that are working in different areas that you might be interested in. It's so exciting to get your participation and to hear your perspectives as part of the inclusion platform. Additionally, once we start doing more training and sessions, I would love to have you be part of these ones. I believe that learning happens in 3D, if you want to call it. It happens between the instructor and the student and the student, and from the student to the instructor. And for me, having that sort of participation allows me to make sure that the work we're doing is relevant to you and not just a waste of your time, but actually enhancing your work. Incorporating equity, diversity, and inclusion principles as part of all, making sure that you're reviewing your different policies, that you're aware of the things that are out here. And then lastly, please, and I ask everyone to take part as part of the data collection process. Data is an easy way for us to start measuring this work. So it would be really fantastic to get all of your thoughts and perspectives and your identities as well as part of us starting to measure and benchmarking our work. So now I would like to welcome the Inclusion Platform chairs to come and share a little bit about the fantastic work that has been done from the Inclusion Platform. And again, thank you so much for having me here. If I have not had a chance of meeting you, I am probably that random person that smiles at everyone walking on the halls. Feel free to stop by and say hi. Like I think I'm a nice person to chat with, so feel free to stop by. Also, my office is on the second floor, right next to the bathrooms. 260. There we go. Wonderful. Thank you.
I'll just hold this. So howdy, y'all. In case you haven't already met me, I'm Natasha Waxman. I'm the Director of Publications, Grants, and Awards, and also one of the co-chairs of the platform. And I'll just tell you a little bit. There's a number of people in this room who have been part of the platform right from the beginning and who've made many, many contributions, for which we thank you. But I'll just, for those of you who haven't heard of it, it was founded really as the brainchild of a group that took it upon themselves to survey the PI community, led by Bianca here, and really look at whether or not there were any issues to be, there were any issues about satisfaction, any issues about any situations related to EDI in the PI community. After crunching the numbers, the survey really did find that, yeah, there were quite a few issues. And this was a big surprise to many, including me, some of the things that came up. And a number of meetings were called. First of all, the survey results were presented by Bianca to the whole PI community at a very memorable meeting. And then after that, there were a number of follow-up meetings where people basically were asking, you know, what can we do? And I have to say that although physics has an extremely conservative side, and I'm sure we could all agree on that, there's also an enormous energy for change and an openness to change. And so really the platform was born out of an honest recognition that there were a number of things that should be addressed and an energy to try to address them. That was really the fundamental beginning. And so it's a self-organized group. It's a whole bunch of volunteers who decided and declared, well, what am I most interested in? Okay, we're kind of talking about the same thing. Let's call ourselves a working group. And that's what the platform really is. And myself, Bianca, and Maita tried to give just a little bit of structure to it, not much. We tried to incorporate some of the key principles in good EDI work, which include documenting what you do, trying to measure it, trying to assess it. And it's gone on for 4 years now, and I think that it's really changed a lot of elements of PI culture. Maybe the most important step was the first one, where some tough questions were asked and answered by the whole community, and some hard truths were faced and discussion started. And at the end of the day, that's where change starts. It's just about discussion. So, that with all that said, I'm going to give it over to Maita, who will talk about a couple of those working groups, those groups of people who found themselves talking about the same kinds of things and proposing some solutions. And there we go.
Thanks, Natasha. Hi, everyone. Yeah, so let me maybe change the slide. So I'm not going to spend too much time about this current group, because the idea is that you can meet some of these, some of the members of this group in the atrium right after this presentation, so in a few minutes. But I just want to emphasize kind of how this group have been formed and where they are coming from. I also want to take the time that in addition to this group, we also got a lot of support from Patty here, and more recently from Shannon, who just joined the PNC team. And so this has been really appreciated, and we're really looking forward working with Anna Sophia to develop even more this initiative. And of course, also a big thank you to all the members of this platform, because as Natasha said, I think a lot of things has been achieved. And right now we have kind of 8 active working groups, but there were more, there were different working groups when we started. For example, there was a PhD working group, and the student and some postdoc and faculty came together to discuss about student issue and came up with, for example, a new mentorship programs or some new guidelines for student and supervisors that are still work in progress, but was started by this group. So just to give you an idea of which kind of thing can be achieved within this, these groups. And some of the groups that you see here are much more recent and were formed from during the pandemic, like the anti-racism group were from after the Black Lives Matter is as a reaction from that. And the climate change working group is also a group that started last year. So all these things, just to say that, yeah, if you think that some issue should be discussed within perimeter, and this is also a way for you to have this this opportunity by creating this a group and joining this structure. And so now I think I won't add anything on this group that are currently existing, because as I said, there you will have the opportunity to talk to some member in the atrium. And Bianca, do you want to? Okay, I'm going to come to you.
I'm supposed to say everything what has been forgotten. Unfortunately, nothing has been forgotten. There's another slide. Okay, but to please, I ask you to please go to the atrium, because the working groups have gone through the work and set up information stands and are waiting for your questions and so on, just to appreciate that. So you still have a few minutes left until to do that. And we would welcome any input. And secondly, as was mentioned, please also consider joining the platform. It's lots of fun, very often. And now we have gotten, much more professional help. So there's lots of work for you. And the main role which you will have is to give input in how can we improve TI. And so for many, it has been really a great experience also to be in the working groups and to talk to administration. I would not talk to any administration. I mean, people know before the platform, I didn't talk to anyone in the administration at PI, but with the platform, I talked to much more people. And you also understand more how the institute works, and if you complain why there might be a solution or why there might be the solution might be more complicated, but you learn for life. we always do surveys for the platform members, and really one point which is often emphasized is that our gender distribution, is tilted in the platform. It's mostly women, and on the researcher side is mostly junior researchers, and that's not good, given that we are, on the researcher side, still a bit more on the male side. So please, again, consider joining the platform. In particular, if you happen to be a researcher, if you happen to be male, and if you happen to be more senior, it helps if you give input earlier and not only complain at the end and and hinder everything what people have discussed for half a year. So, and I know that you all promised to do that anyway in your answer proposal, so you should live up to this. Because you know that Maite is sitting in the evaluation committee, so she will check. Sorry. Anyway. And Rob wanted to have the last word, so.
Okay, first thanks to Bianca, Maite, and Natasha. It was just the last slide. You know, this all went by very quickly, and it's only 26 pages. How hard could that be? But I can assure you that it was a lot of work. And I wanted to note the members of our EDI strategic project team to take this opportunity to thank them. But I also have to add that the entire project took so long that some people left, new people joined. Various people were promoted, their job titles. But it's not just this group, but it's all of you, the survey respondents, people who participated in interviews or workshops. You know, I want to thank as well Laurent, Christina, especially in recruiting, our new EDI lead. And I know it's not the thing to do, but I think there are two gold medals to be handed out. So I'm going to pick on two people on the slide there. One is that Natasha really made a heroic effort to turn the notes that Shift Health gave us and the jabberings of her colleagues, or maybe it was just me that was jabbering, into a coherent document. And I know that was an enormous effort. And as Anna Sophia said, it's something that wasn't part of her job description. It's just another thing that she did. But another special note goes to Anna Hefferman, who was a postdoc here. Many of you may know her, but you may also know that she left over a year ago. And even 8 months after that, she was still responding to emails and giving us input. And so I really think Anna had to be recognized here. But I think this is a... But it's not just those two people. It's really an enormous effort of the people on the slide here and the people who participated in many different ways. And so I think now, we get to applaud to thank everyone. I did have a couple of thoughts, though, that I wanted to add, which is that we've hired this great person, Anna, and you can see why she's so great from her presentation. But that, again, I want to emphasize, we don't all get to wash our hands of any of the issues or the problems. You know, she's here to guide us, to teach us, to nudge us, to push us along. But this is really going to require a collective effort. I really see it as a collective responsibility for everyone here at Perimeter to enhance our culture, to enhance the Institute. Another comment is that, you know, this is a step in the right direction, but that is writing this or presenting a strategic plan and expressing the intent to do something comprehensive. But our culture and EDI, the field of EDI, is are both very dynamic. And so one of the things you'll read there is that we expect that this is a living document and that we'll change it as the circumstances warrant. You know, one of the things that Anna Sophia emphasized was data collection. And in particular, you know, our approach here, or my attitude on our approach, is that we should take it with an experimental mindset. And that we should try things, you know, collect and analyze the data, And then, you know, adjust our activities as needed. We can drop what doesn't work. We can amplify what does work. We can choose new directions. And it's really through listening, learning, trying, and adapting that we're going to grow as a scientific community here. And so with that, I just wanted to open it up to questions, if there were any, to me, to Anna Sophia, to our platform chair. So, okay, yeah, sure, we can applaud. People are all looking for the snacks down in the atrium. All right, I'm just going to ask you to check, Patty, and then I'll look. Okay. Okay, so I encourage everyone to go down to the atrium. I'm told there are probably snacks.
There's snacks and also the ballot for gift cards to the bistro.
Okay, yes. There's going to be a draw for a bistro gift card if you go around. You have to ask a few questions, though, and then you can enter the draw. So thank you all for coming out. I hope to see you all down in the atrium.